Hello and welcome to Baylor Connections, a conversation series with the people shaping our future. Each week we go in-depth with Baylor leaders, professors, and more, discussing important topics in higher education, research, student life, and more. I'm Derek Smith, and our guest today is Dr. Sarah Perry, Assistant Professor of Management in Baylor's Handkammer School of Business. She joined the Handkammer faculty in 2014 and has maintained an active research schedule in addition to teaching. Her workplace research has been featured in a variety of media outlets and journals, covering topics such as organizational behavior, negotiation, human resource management, and industrial and organizational psychology. An award-winning professor, she also consults with organizations on various human resources and leadership topics, and she's with us today on the program. Dr. Sarah Perry, great to have you on the program. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Now, you've done some research in particular lately on working from home that's received a lot of media attention. We're going to talk to that topic here in just a few moments, but I want to start by asking you a little bit about, you know, your discipline, specifically researching management and workplace topics. What is it that you enjoy most about teaching on those topics, researching on those topics, and what are the questions that you're trying to help answer?
Yeah, so I love this area because everyone works in some way, whether it's paid or not. So we can all resonate with these issues with the workplace, and it really has a potential to have a real impact on people's lives. So I think it's a lot of fun to talk to people about their work life and talk about what I've found in my research and what others have found, and that really resonates with people usually. So it leads to a lot of interesting storytelling and also just being able to share findings that actually help people maybe manage their work life a little bit better. So my research primarily has to do with employee stress. I look at how the experience of stress is really taken differently by different people based on different contexts or different personalities, different leaders. And so I try to understand how to help people that may not manage stress as well do that even a little bit better. So understanding how we're different and how to help those that may not manage stress as effectively. How do we help everyone kind of handle that a little bit better?
What was it that led you to those topics? Were there experiences that you had in the workplace or talking to others that led you to that?
Yeah, I would say so. I've always been fascinated by understanding why people do what they do and the dynamics between people and how that just is different in different places. And whenever I was in the workplace, I started out in a high-tech career. And there are a lot of things I observed there. And stress was one of those that comes up. Everyone experiences stress. And there are some good forms and some not so good forms. And it's really about achieving a balance of those and using tools, the tools you have to manage that effectively. So I guess I personally resonated with it, and also I feel like a lot of others do as well. It's something that's always interested me.
You mentioned you started off in the technology sector. Mm-hmm. Did you always imagine that you would end up on the academic side of the ledger? Was that something that was a surprise down the line?
It was a surprise. I actually was a computer science major in undergrad, and I went into that major because it was a really practical major. I knew I could get a job, and I was good at math. Honestly, it just came down to those simple things. But I never was passionate about it. The thing I liked best about my job, I ended up in a sales team working for a couple of different high-tech companies, and I was the technical person on the sales team. And my favorite part of my job was teaching. And we taught a lot of workshops to help our partners, et cetera. And that was really my favorite part, but I got really burned out. So coming into the stress aspect of it, about 4 years in, I realized I cannot do this for the rest of my life. It's just not what I'm made to do. Mm-hmm. I loved the interaction and I loved the teaching, but I did not love talking about computers. So I really was a little bit lost, but I kind of went back to an original thing I always thought maybe I'd want to do, is to be a professor. It's not something I probably verbalized much, but I come from a family of teachers, and I didn't know a lot about the college professor world, but it was something that was interesting to me. So I kind of found my way back eventually, and everything I did in computer science really did help position me for what I've been able to do in IO psychology and management. So it all worked out to a good end here. And once I got back to graduate school is when I realized, oh yeah, I love academia and I love the flexibility of choosing your research topics and being creative in the classroom and mentoring students and really deciding how your work is going to be structured. I loved all of those things. So it was a great fit.
We are visiting with Dr. Sarah Perry from Baylor Management and the Handkammer School of Business. And I'm going to talk to you, talk about students and interacting with them. A little later on, I want to ask you how your research influences what you do in the classroom and how students participate in that. But let's start by talking about it, because you've had a research project that's been really getting a lot of attention in the national media over these last few weeks. It's about your research on remote work, people working from home or off-site, out of the office a little bit. Let's start off just by give us an overview of that project. What led to it? What did you study? And what are some of what you're finding?
Sure. So that study started really with a more general premise that people handle stress differently. And largely, I believe that is because they handle their resources differently. So that's a broader line of research I've had going, and this is one example of that. So resources really are any tool that we use to accomplish our goals or protect our well-being or just thrive at work or in our life. So it can be things like autonomy, but it can also be things like relationships, social support. It can also be simple things like money and time and the printer at your office. So it can be a range of things. And one of the things you notice about remote work is that you don't have access to those resources as easily. It's harder to talk to people, to find information, to even maybe have the technology you need at home or wherever you're working. So in a progression of studies leading up to this one, we found that emotional stability is a personality trait that really affects how someone uses their resources. We found that people who have lower levels of emotional stability, which really describes how even keel you are. It's how much you react to things that are challenging versus how even keel or middle of the road you might stay, or how focused on the problem you remain versus focused on your emotion. And so we found that emotional stability is pretty key in how people use their resources and experience stress. And in this study, we look specifically at remote work. And so we defined remote work as anything work that's done anywhere besides the primary office. So that could be at the coffee shop or at home or somewhere else. And one of the primary challenges that a long line of research has shown is that remote workers tend to feel isolated. And that's one of the biggest challenges. You're isolated from those resources, but also from your relationships and other people. So our question was, how does emotional stability affect that? And so in this latest study, we found that people who are lower on emotional stability seem to have less need for autonomy. They actually, when they have more autonomy, they don't do as well, particularly when they work remotely more often. So the more ideal trait to have for a remote worker, for someone who's going to thrive in a remote work setting, is someone with higher levels of emotional stability. We find that because it seems like they find other ways to manage their work life and to find ways to meet their needs for relationships and all the extra things that we get from work beyond just doing our tasks.
Is there a gap? Do you find a gap between how people perceive remote work and the actual experience of that?
Yes. When I talk to people, often people will say, oh, yes, I wish I could work remotely. Although there are exceptions. Some people recognize that they wouldn't want to. They wouldn't want to be at home or even remotely. But the gap, or the balance appears to be, some other research has shown that 15 hours is the sweet spot of remote work. And so what I think many people might not realize is that more is not always better, but a small amount really might do a lot of good. So it helps us manage our work and our personal lives better. It gives us just enough flexibility that we aren't commuting that day, that we're saving some time in terms of, you know, driving to work, but also getting ready for work, and maybe even saving time in terms of not having the interruptions we have at work and the extra things that distract us at work. And so having a little bit of that time seems to do well for us. But often people think that they just assume that they would want to work remotely. And then once they do, they realize some of the challenges.
What are some of the trends as everything's more mobile these days and there's that ability to work from home more easily? What are some of the trends you're seeing in workplaces in terms of being more flexible with where their employees work or how people are taking advantage of that?
So we just finished a book chapter on this topic. It's going to be published early next year, I believe, by Cambridge University Press. And we saw in that research three forms of flexibility that it seems to encapsulate the way organizations are offering flexibility. One is in location, so we've been talking about that with remote work. One is in scheduling, so just giving people a bit more freedom in how they schedule their day and even their week. And then the other one is in work design. So I think work design might be the most interesting because you hear these buzzwords like gig economy and people participating in this gig economy as freelancers. That's one example of how people are having more flexibility even in how they're defining their careers. So more and more people, and we've seen it even since 2008, are taking advantage of maybe some setbacks they had in the recession in 2008 to take a more entrepreneurial approach to their career. And organizations that offer some flexibility in terms of even what work people are working on, some companies give a lot of autonomy in the creativity of defining the role even. So one particular company we looked at was very rigorous in who they hired, but then once they got to the job, they would allow them to work on whatever they thought would make an impact on the company. So that's an extreme form of flexibility. But you see all variations, and we see more and more of people doing kind of side gigs that even turn into full-time gigs.
We are visiting with Dr. Sarah Perry, Assistant Professor of Management in Baylor's Handkammer School of Business today on Baylor Connections, talking right now about her research on remote work. So let's just say there's probably someone listening right now who has the opportunity to partake in some of what we're talking about, right, remote work. So if there's someone out there working from home, dabbling in that, or considering more opportunities to do so, what stock should they take of themselves? What sort of questions should they ask themselves about the time they put into it and what qualities they have if that's compatible with that?
Absolutely. So I would start by asking, how much do I enjoy working alone? And what tasks do I do that are best suited for me to work alone on? And then for the rest of the time, how can I achieve the interaction I need for myself as a person, but also to accomplish my tasks? And how can I work in that structure that I might automatically have in the workplace? How can I make that also a part of my remote work, whether it's in my home or a co-working space or some other place? And then I would also, based on this latest research, I would really try to do an honest self-assessment of where do I rate on emotional stability. This is a trait that we probably have a pretty good sense of where we stand. There are some free self-assessments, evaluations you can do online. But really, you can just ask yourself, how do I tend to react to challenges? Do I react pretty strongly? Do I tend to kind of ride the roller coaster of emotions when things happen? That would be the lower levels of emotional stability. And it's not necessarily a bad thing. It's just a certain way of being. And we have to know about that so we can manage it whenever stress does come. The most effective way to handle stress tends to be to remain focused on the problem and rationally on our emotions. So realizing that we're having a strong emotion, but remaining rational about that, and then trying to figure out how to face and address the problem. So another question a line of questioning I would recommend asking is, what kind of relationships do I already have with my coworkers, my leaders? What kinds of relationships do I need to succeed in this organization? And how can I make sure that I don't lose out because of lack of face time in my organization? So if I'm going to be working from home, how do I make sure they still know I'm here and they know what I'm doing and they know how I'm succeeding and meeting goals, et cetera? So how do I stay in touch? And then finally, I would ask, what level of support do I need? And how can I make sure I get that support from my boss, but also from my coworkers, and just instill some of the structure that you might be losing by going remote?
You mentioned that sweet spot of 15 hours. You know, I'm thinking, you know, sometimes if I'm preparing for these interviews or writing an article for Baylor, every now and again I'll end up in a coffee shop. There's just a different energy about that. What does that sweet spot mean? Is there a part where it can be healthy and energizing for an employee? But also, why is there a certain why is there that limit?
I think yes, I think anyone that, unless someone just really enjoys being alone a lot, I think there is a lot of people can resonate with this idea that there is too much of a good thing. And so we all probably have tasks that we do better in a coffee shop. Maybe it helps us be more creative or focus more. Maybe we have tasks that we like to do where we know no one is going to interrupt us. So at home is a good spot for that. There just comes a point of our job where we need to be around people or we need to have information. One of the things you miss out on when you get way past that sweet spot is informal information that's shared in the workplace. So finding ways to reinsert yourself back into that. I know some people don't have the opportunity to work in the office with their coworkers. One of the interesting answers to that challenge is the emergence of co-working spaces. We actually have a few here in Waco and in the surrounding area, and it really gives people a place to go that is a workplace, but also people to interact with as needed.
Visiting with Dr. Sarah Perry from Baylor's Hand Cameron School of Business. And Sarah, let's talk about it from the employer standpoint now. I'm sure there are people listening also who are in charge of people, have people that they work with that they're responsible for. What should employers consider as they give their employees, their staff, some flexibility, but thinking about the limits of that?
So I think one interesting way to approach this is to think about what other forms of flexibility can be offered. Whereas our research is showing that some people might not be best suited for a lot of autonomy or remote work, there are other ways that you can help people feel in control of their work and their work day and their work life just by giving them more choices. So other forms of flexibility is one question to ask. What else can I give people to give them some ownership and control over their own lives? And then another question is, what challenges are people actually experiencing that makes them think that they want to work remotely or to have more autonomy or whatever it is they're requesting? So to really ask the why behind the request, why do they think they want this? And is there another way? If I can't offer that, is there another way to help them achieve that same goal? And then for remote work specifically, it's really important for the managers, for the organization to ask, what support do we need to build in? What training up front do we need to give so that people can be productive and effective and thrive at home or wherever they're going to be remote? But also, what type of employee is going to thrive and what type of employee do we need to offer a bit more support or other kinds of flexibility for?
Visiting with Dr. Sarah Perry from Baylor's Hand Cameron School of Business, you know, the management department there, it's not just you. There's a lot of high-quality research coming out of that department, you and your colleagues. Tell us a little about that environment. It seems like you all are able to build on a lot of what each other do.
Yes, there's a lot of synergy in our department, and I have loved the culture of collaboration in our department. So we often find ways just with different partnerships to put together the specific different areas that we do research in to come together with a good intersection across and collaborate. One example with Dr. Matt Quaid, who started at the same time I did, and we came in with very different lines of research, you would think. He studies ethical leadership and I study stress. And within the first couple of years, we were able to say, let's do a cross-disciplinary, if you will, within the field of management project. And we both collected data on topics related to ethical leadership and employee stress, and were able to publish that paper last year. So that was a great example of how just thinking about how those different areas intersect. And we have a good culture just of collegiality in our department, so it really helps. It's really the embodiment of the Christian mission of Baylor. We get to see that lived out every day. It's a very friendly, collaborative department, so it's great.
Well, and there's a lot of collaboration there in management, and then for other departments throughout the Foster campus at Hand Cameron School of Business. Just seems like there's a lot we see from that department that ends up in the news that people around the country benefit from, which is exciting.
And we're lucky because what we're working on does resonate with people well, so it makes it easier to spread the word about what research we're doing just because people can relate to it.
Well, Sarah, heading into the final couple of minutes of the program, I want to ask you about the student aspect, too, because you've had students involved in your research, and sometimes we talk about research and teaching as if they're two different things, mm-hmm. but they're really not. What's the synergy between those two things?
So, the way that I've involved students in research specifically is in a series of studies I've done on negotiation, stress and anxiety in negotiation. And over the past 3 years or so, I've had a lab, an informal research lab of 10 or more students at a time who come from business and also from psychology who are potentially interested in graduate school. That's the main reason they come and want to be involved, because they are volunteering their time. So really, they're just getting experience in the research endeavor. And they have helped from everything from designing the research and coming up with the ideas, the research questions, through implementing some pretty big lab experiments we've done. We had over 300 students come through one lab study with 10 or 15 Confederates, so people coming in to actually negotiate with our students, acting out a role and doing role plays, negotiation role plays. And so then those same students helped us code videos with that project, and they really saw the entire pipeline of the research process all the way through having that data. And I've even sat down with them and done data analysis and shown them how we do that. So some of those students are my students in terms of the HR and the management majors, but others are psych and just have some interest in IO psychology, which is very much overlap with HR and management. And so it's great to be able to mentor them in their career, but also give them some exposure and experience.
Well, I would think maybe this is an obvious thing, but as students who want to go into management and lead people someday, even if it's not specifically academic research, some of those things of problem solving, mm-hmm. trying to find out what the real problem is or what the real root cause of something is something to be very beneficial to them as they lead a company someday.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things we teach in our HR curriculum very heavily. I teach an HR staffing course this semester in the fall semester every year, and we do data analytics, and that is what analytics, HR analytics, is all about, is defining the problem correctly, asking why enough times that you really get to the root cause, what is the real problem, and then understanding possible solutions and how we can improve business decision making in terms of from the HR perspective. So that is what we teach in classes, and that's what we do in the research endeavor.
Well, that's great, and I know we've barely scratched the surface of the research you and your colleagues have done, but it's been fun to really delve into this one today. We are out of time on the program. Thanks so much. It's been great to visit with you today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. Dr. Sarah Perry, Assistant Professor of Management in Baylor's Handkammer School of Business, our guest today on Baylor Connections. I'm Derek Smith. Reminder, you can hear this and other Baylor Connections programs on your mobile device. You can subscribe on iTunes or go online, baylor.edu/connections.